Lime, duh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wah, wah, wah. Let's do it again, baby. Hello. Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling Podcast, a podcast where comedians and they sit there listening to an unhealthy degree.
Shut your
host. Okay, all right. I am your host, the host with the most viral stand-up about professional wrestling, Dan Black.
Guys, let's put this in perspective. These are huge men.
A.K.A. Donsky Blackamora, A.K.A. Donnie Wrestling. Donnie Wrestling. A.K.A. Donnie Capri from the time I went to Italy. A.K.A. the modern day goof and spoof.
WWE Champion Jinder Mahal.
Karaja, coming at you like Cleopatra. Gabba, gabba,
gabba, wee. Gabba,
yeah,
wee.
Yeah,
gabba,
yeah.
Gabba,
oh,
gabba, gabba,
yeah, yeah,
gabba,
yeah, yeah.
I have been here for 12 years.
This girl, she is mine. And
oh, a little bit of the bubbly.
Baby!
Damn, she's fine. What up, jabroniacs? We are back in action for your satisfaction with all of our spicy, spicy, muy, muy caliente wrestling reactions. Whoa, 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 whoa. and before we get into it, I want everybody to know that you can support this podcast. This podcast is grassroots. You can support us at patreon.com/comediansofwrestling and get access to our bonus content and support the show. This week, a lot of our bonus content is on the main podcast for free. So show your appreciation by joining the Patreon at patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. But yeah, we have a very, very special bonus episode on the main feed for free where I am interviewing. It is out simultaneously with this podcast right now. I sat down and discussed the movie You Cannot Kill David Arquette with Mr. David Arquette, former WCW champion. That is out right now. My call with him that I think you will like. And if you appreciate it, consider becoming a patron. Patreon.com/comedianswrestling. Also have a bonus episode on the main feed that came out Monday with Mr. Pitch, Mr. Perfect, Skylar Aston. I'm not sure how much star power you need to support this podcast. But, you know, if you don't support this podcast,
shame.
That's how I feel. Also, you can get access to our bonus episodes, like I said, that are patrons exclusive episodes, like the Cal Movie Club. Aaron and I are discussing movies with professional wrestlers in them. I think we should do an episode because I was talking to David Arquette about his movie Spree, which I also watched, which I think we should do an episode on that, Aaron, because I think you would enjoy this movie.
Okay. We can definitely fit that on into the docket.
Yeah, Dave's in
it. We had to move Blockers back by a few weeks, so
maybe we get that Blocker slot, and then we see kind of reevaluate where Blockers goes.
I mean, we already had to push it back by a couple weeks just the other day, so
free spot. Joe Keery from Stranger Things is in the movie.
Steve,
the hunky dude, and he's pretty great in this movie.
Can't wait to see it.
Check it out. But what movie did we discuss? Are we going to discuss this week? It's going to be coming out late because of pay-per-view action. 3 weeks of pay-per-view in a row.
Pay-per-view action. Special guests. Bonus episodes. Yeah.
Let's say this episode will drop Friday morning. The Cal Movie Club episode of what's the movie?
The movie is called Heist, starring Robert De Niro, Jeffrey Dean Morgan, and King of the Cow Movie Club, David Bautista.
Ooh.
It's available on Netflix now.
Great, great, great. Mm-hmm. Okay, and also our AEW NXT-centric bonus episode this week likely will come out late because we have All Out. So I'll talk with Tulo. That'll probably come out I'm going to try to get that out on Sunday after All Out. Maybe Monday morning for your commute to the Hoagie Shop. But just know, we're working. We're working for you. Check out my interview with David Arquette. What more do you people's needs? Oh, my God.
I should have known better, dude.
Okay. And our most important announcement is the return of the cash-in here on the podcast.
Wow.
Well, yeah. By the way, the cash-in, what is that for the new listeners? You can leave us a voicemail at 316-530-2429-316-530-2429. Blow my mind.
Gabba, gabba, wee, gabba.
We'll play your voicemails on the show. Keep them short, people. They're getting chopped over a minute. It's not happening. And also, I might cut you off at my discretion, okay?
Get hard of your
rehearse.
Ass.
Yeah, maybe rehearse. You ever think about that? Maybe rehearse. This podcast, these airwaves, these airwaves have had, how many? Two heavyweight champions have been on these fucking airwaves, okay? So you think about you're just going to half-ass and come in here? No, that's not going to happen. Maybe an IC champ or two. Who even knows? Oh, no, three. Hennigan's been on here, also a heavyweight champion. So ECW heavyweight champion. Yeah. Counts. Anyway, so let's do it. So anyway, I say we kick this pot off this week. A lot to discuss. We kick it off with a cash-in. What do you guys say?
Let's see if this
privilege will stick. Okay.
We'll see.
What up, what up, what up? This is Cal Resident Woodworker Stephen Achmody, a.k.a. Stu's Wood, creator and craftsman behind the Eco-Friendly Cal Heavyweight Championship.
Gotta respect that.
First time cash-in. It's about time. My question is, with the reported draft coming up later this year, who are some superstars that you'd like to see switch brands, either go Raw to SmackDown or vice versa? Maybe back down to NXT. There are a lot of people who aren't really being used, not being utilized. Just kind of like to see where your head's at. Shout out to everybody in the Facebook group for a great past 2 weeks of wrestling commentary. It's been a blast. Anyway, I got to get back to work. Cheers up.
Wow. Mid-drilling. Oh, my God. So if Steve Achmody, who has forged the Cow Eco-Friendly Responsible title, which has been not – it's on my shelf, but not collecting dust. You know what I mean?
Right.
Absolutely. If he had an entrance song, we'd start with a drill bit, which I don't think – I don't think we've ever heard that. We've had tire screeches.
Like a sanding glass melt shatter. Or something.
Yeah.
Lane.
Yeah.
My first thought of – so with the draft coming up, the first wrestlers I think about switching brands, first off, I'll be honest, I don't care that much. WWE's not done enough to really differentiate those two brands for me where it matters like what show they're on. But – so I'm kind of just saying this is a thing, but I think that I would like to see Seth Rollins on SmackDown because I feel like we never see that.
Interesting.
I feel like he's always a Raw guy.
Always Raw. He was the Raw number one pick.
Right.
Yeah.
He's always a Raw guy.
Monday Night Messiah, not the Friday Night Friar.
Right.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. And now that Becky is not on any roster because she's at home, he can – and also they're just filming in one place. Doesn't matter.
Right. My guess is Seth is not winning a championship until – he's back from the paternity leave, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But that's it. The other thing I would say, and again, I don't really care about brand, and I said this on Monday's bonus episode with Skylar Astrin, brought to you by the Patreon. I mean, come on, support the pod, patreon.com/comedianswrestling. I want Miz to go somewhere where he could play a cool, bigger role. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I think Miz should be playing a more of a – the MJF shouldn't be doing better than Miz, you know, if I'm writing wrestling, you know, if I'm Vince, it's like you have a guy who has honestly more ability and a more honed craft than MJF. MJF's a little green, really. He's very good, but sometimes, you know, he's a little exposed in a way, in my eyes, as a performer, in his eyes and in his performance. And the fact that Miz is not just dominating that style of wrestling, I think is a mistake, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I think Miz, I put on probably on Raw, seems like you might be able to have at least like a Drew Miz feud, which would be great.
That'd be cool.
Right?
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
What about
keep Hennigan with him so he has muscle, right?
Move him also.
Yeah. I would move him also. But anyone else you guys care about what show they're on?
Jinder Mahal to NXT.
Well,
that's a good idea, actually.
Yeah.
In terms of NXT, I also, just to keep going with that idea, I said it on the other pod, but Miz in NXT, I think, is another cool idea. Like, having a true non-indie guy, like a true WWE guy, going down there.
If he did it, he would be disgusted. That would be his thing. He's disgusted that he's even there.
Yeah, he would be absolutely grossed out by it.
Performance Center.
But again, I think it's all kind of a non-starter, even though I appreciate the cash in. It's a good question. For me, it brings up the fact that I don't even think of those two shows as different brands. Do you guys?
I mean, there's different people on them. So,
right.
And they is the wild card rule gone? It's non-existent now.
Yeah,
it doesn't exist. Like they'll use the draft to move people around. Maybe they move The Fiend to Raw so he can party with those guys.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like he's still going with Roman, which is a cool thing. All right, anyway.
But when's the draft? The draft's not for a few months, right?
I don't know. Did you hear anything about draft?
I didn't even hear that. I haven't heard anything official.
Seems so. The draft, maybe, like, if you're going to have no real structure to those two shows, you know, then stop having drafts. Like, you can't.
Right.
It's like drafting if there were no management, like, in sports.
Right.
Like,
and who's doing the drafting? Because before, remember, they had like Stephanie and Shane, like, you know, calling their names out from the podium. Like, what does that look like these days?
Right. Because it's like, so I guess Shane's doing like the whole Raw Underground thing. I don't really understand. Like, I don't know what the draft does. Anyway, let's move on because I want to make sure we talk about All Out. But first thing I want to do is get your guys' take. I went pretty in-depth about how I felt about Roman's win of the Universal Championship.
Roman Reigns is always here.
And I think, what did you guys feel about the booking on Sunday night? Payback. Roman Reigns walks out as the champion. We pretty much all guessed that it was going to happen, I think, except for Tulo, right?
Yeah.
So
I have
predictions. How do you guys feel about how it went down, him signing the contract mid-match? What were your thoughts?
I mean, I think it's McMahon's razor in action.
Yes, that's precisely correct.
It is the least exciting way they could have gone with it. So, of course, they went with it that way. I think, honestly, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm glad he's back, but. As long as he's got a shirt on, I'm not popping.
It should be said that in our predictions, Dan won. Dan and I tied on predictions, but won based on the tiebreaker, which was, does Roman show his tits or not? And he had a t-shirt on, so Dan won the predictions for the prediction payback.
So I knew that he was not going to take the vest off. Mm-hmm. I knew it because the heel heat of the vest, he's not going to ditch anything that got him to this place where they wanted to turn him, right?
Right.
So, like, it doesn't make sense. Plus, I didn't expect what they did was it was going to be the shirt.
Yeah, because they're like the t-shirt.
Right, because they're like, let's have him win in that shirt. And that shirt, by the way, I haven't seen any stats, but I think that shirt is probably his best-selling shirt. People I know want to buy that shirt.
People who aren't Big Dog fans?
No, yeah, people are like, that shirt's cool. I was like, I'll never buy a Roman Reigns shirt, only the vest.
It is so, like, the wreck everyone and leave on a shirt is so, like, Walmart, like,
right.
fucking, like, I'm going to wear this this is my best t-shirt. I'm going to wear it to the 4th of July party. Like, it's like the, like, I don't know. There's something about wreck everyone and leave. And then everyone's like, oh yeah, that's it. Well, I like that. I don't know. There's something about it.
It's like in a cool font and it's like got a cool design to it. But if you made it like script and added like a little bedazzlement, that would definitely be like Walmart bargain bin.
Right.
And like an acid wash. Yeah.
It looks kind of like Ed Hardy. People wear that like Muhammad Ali shirt. It kind of, I don't know, like the one that
where it looks like the poster. Text on like a poster for a fight. Yeah.
It looks kind of like a knockoff of that shirt. But it says wreck everyone and leave, which by the way, I do think is good booking for Roman. Like if that's the gimmick, is that he just pops in, beats the shit out of everybody and then leaves and doesn't touch the mic, right? And that's going to be his slogan. Then I think that is pretty good. I do like him winning the title. Because the last thing we need is to have a fucking Roman chase the title. You're not going to care about that. So you might as well just – you know he's going to get it. So you might as well just give it right to him. If they're pushing Fiend as a babyface, Fiend getting the title for 6 days is going to make everybody love him even more, right?
for 6 days.
Especially because he didn't even eat the pin, so it doesn't really affect him in that way, you know? So I think the whole thing was really smart. What I want to get your guys' take on is how you felt about him joining mid-match.
I was a little disappointed. I guess I didn't really realize, I mean, no one did, that he didn't sign the contract in the room when the mailman came by.
Right.
So I was like, what is happening? Like the bell rang, like, where is he? And I guess
Adam Pearce, the mailman?
Is that the mailman. That's his gimmick? Yeah, he's the mailman. And I was like, oh, well, I guess that makes sense. He signed the contract on the spot.
Yeah, like that's what's so crazy about with wrestling. It's like we try to give this show the benefit of the doubt all the time where we're like, all right, so cool. Like that was a cool way to end SmackDown where he just goes like, believe that. And he goes, it's not a prediction. It's a spoiler. They put like him and Heyman swap catchphrases. And you're like, wow, that's how he signed it by saying that.
Yeah.
And then we get to it. It's like, they didn't sign it. So like what happened after? Like we were trying to like give you guys like, hey, good writing is we don't need to like see everything. It's okay that like we imply that that means he's signing because he has his manager there.
Right.
And then they're like, he didn't sign. We're like, what?
Well, and I don't think like the match started. No one said like Roman Reigns is still undetermined if he's going to be participating in this match or not. It just started. Sammy Guevara.
Absolutely. Like you shouldn't not show us something that we would imply the opposite of.
Right.
So, right. You know what I mean? So that's why it was like silly. But then also, on top of that, do you think, this is what I was saying to Skyler, is like, I like it if, because like, you know, the fact that like you had two huge dudes, right, put into perspective, these guys, they power slam each other off the top rope, the ring breaks and then Roman shows up. It's like that's like why I watch wrestling, right?
Because that's like see ref go flying through the air.
Yeah, oh my god, when he was like doing the
every
the
time
lean, I love that. It's so fucking funny. Was that Charles Robinson? Right? And he's like, whoa. It's great. I watched that like 40 times just for him. I love it. That's really fun. But I'm saying the question is, do you think on Friday night they acknowledged that the move he pulled was kind of shiesty and like Heyman at work here, finding exploiting a small detail in the contract and that's what happened? Or they're just going to kind of be like, nope, he signed a big match and that's a normal thing that you can do in pro wrestling, you know?
But it smacks of like not being thought through, because what advantage does signing it late give Roman at all?
Well,
right? Couldn't he have just
wreck everyone and leave, right?
Yeah, but couldn't he have just signed it and then
no, because
not
they couldn't ring the bell. See, that's what the thing is that like I just want to lay this out, because when I go, what I try to always do. Like, you know, if you're a creative person, a lot of times you can overthink things and you go, oh, maybe this and this and that. And then I always have this like rule for myself is that like when I hit like a frustrated zone, I think like, what was my initial instinct? It probably was right. And then I overthought it.
And yeah, so that's literally Occam's razor. That's what that is.
That is Occam's razor. Yeah. Not to be confused with Occam and Razor.
Occam and Razor, right.
Right, right. The authors of Pain. Those are the guys who wrote Pain, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
the book, Pain.
Right. Like so when I was watching that, the bell rung and it was just Strowman and Bray, and my thought in my brain was, what the fuck is happening? I'm like, right. Like it's like this thing in improv that I told Newman a million times was like, it's like audiences, like for when you're watching like comedy, your audiences stop at the first question mark. You know what I mean? Right. And they sit there like, and that's when they like lean over to their significant other, and be like, wait, which who's this guy? And then you're trying to get them to stay with you. So like when I was watching that, I had one of those moments of like, wait, so Roman, wait, did I miss something earlier in the show? And my instinct was to rewind to be like, oh, did I miss that Roman's not going to be joining this match? Or like,
right.
Oh, so I'm confused. So that's not effective storytelling that I'm confused, right? Because I know he's going to show up. But right. I'm like, what happened? Did he get beat down? Like, what's going on? I don't know. I felt more confusion than anticipation for the reveal, you know?
Right. But that's my point. Like, what in kayfabe would be the reason for him to not sign it until he was on the ramp? Like we're talking about, like, but, and that's what you just said about, like, the first question. It's something I think about a lot because it's a great point. And that's kind of where I'm coming from with this, too, where it's like, okay, well, what, we don't have an explanation as to why. Not only why he would wait, but what advantage, like what was the, like the kayfabe reason for like, well, I'm not going to sign until I get out there. Like,
right.
There's so much that
to, like, keep everybody guessing or whatever. Or that's the show. Like,
but we could have, he could have just signed it.
That's like the new Heyman-esque part where he's like, I'll wait till these, I'm going to treat it like a Money in the Bank contract. Right.
Well, there was just nothing made of the fact that he hadn't signed it yet. It's not like they were like awaiting him, his signature, and made it clear, like, we don't know that Roman Reigns is
this
match or not.
I will say this. When I went back, they did say, like, we don't know if he signed it. And the Instagram post had like a shot being like, will Roman Reigns sign his contract tonight? They were doing that. But I also, similar to you, did not follow that watching.
No. Yeah.
You know?
Completely missed it and was still confused when the match started.
Right. Right. I still don't think it's like, oh, he did sign it and then he joins. It doesn't make you think you can join the match after it began. Right?
Right.
So I think.
Then why have contract signings at all?
That's what I'm saying. So, like, if from now on triple threats have contract. Because also, if you, another thing, if you remember, is that Vince said to Adam Pearce, he was like, yo, he said, I need these signed by the end of the night on SmackDown. Right?
That's why I sent him out there in the mailman's uniform.
Right. And so, yeah, he sent out the mailman, and he – oh, because he was the mailman in the Firefly Funhouse. That's why he said that. That was fucking great. And you know how much I love mailmen. I love the mail. It's part of my patriotism. Check out – you can hear me talk about that on the Regular Guy News on the Dan Black Attack podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, just a little, you know, spoiler. Next week, We got our first clapback. We got our first rebuttal email. Someone didn't like something I said, so we're gonna get into it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I just think that so Vince didn't get his contract signed by the end of the night, so that means the match happens without. So that happens with them, but if he signs mid match, he can join. It seems like something they better suss out. Like, if I'm fine with it, if SmackDown opens addressing that this was weird, that this was exploitation of a miss of a hole, a loop in the contract. You know what I mean?
But that's what I'm saying, though. Like, what loophole? Like, what a loophole usually? Loophole? Right, a loophole traditionally is something that, like, you're able to then gain an advantage because you're like you're exploiting some part of the contract. By not signing it, couldn't he have just signed it and still not came out? Or is he not allowed to not come out if he signed the contract and, like, they're going to start counting him out? Maybe that's what it is, right? Like, if he signed the contract and then they run his music and he doesn't come out, then he has 10 seconds to get out, or he's, like, counted out of the match. Or,
and by the way, I just want to say right now, if you're hearing this,
there's no holds barred, so there's no count outs. What is happening?
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Good point.
Roman Reigns is always here.
That is actually the guiding principle of Roman Reigns. But mm-hmm. so Because even when he's not there, he did a full earning of the title shot when he wasn't there.
Right.
But he also, when he was out sick, he came back full earning of a win again at WrestleMania against Drew McIntyre, who's there all year busting his ass. Mm-hmm. Not, I mean, he was sick, but I'm just saying, like, now yeah. Drew's the champion. They think about burying him at 35. Here's the deal. If you're saying right now, here's the point I want to make that I didn't get to make on my pod with Skyler. Is if you're hearing this right now and being like, you're overthinking it, it's wrestling, it's supposed to be fun, you are wrong. I feel like you're in, I think you're completely, I couldn't disagree with you more if you go like, it was just fun and cool. No, that's not why people watch stuff. That's not why people watch shows. You watch shows for the writing to be clever and make sense. Like, that's why you care about these characters and this universe, is because this universe has rules that we abide by, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's why you like Harry Potter, is because you're engulfed in the universe and you like following the rules of the universe. And it's what we like about wrestling, except for the fact that sometimes they toss it and they just play it like that, and then some people are like, it's wrestling, it's fine. It's like, no. Most of you who, if you listen to this podcast, you like wrestling on a deeper level. When it nails it, you love it, you know? And it nails it when they actually put this kind of care into it, you know? So I just think that, like, this does matter. Does it mean that it wasn't, like, cool? No, it was cool. But it is this thing where you start going, like, all right, so if they don't acknowledge that, then what? You start losing trust in the process and the writing, you know? So that's frustrating. As a viewer, it makes you want to not turn it on. You know, like, you're thinking, like, why do you want to turn on the show when you're like, I want it? Sometimes you're like excited to turn it on. And most of the time it's because they've effectively drawn you in with good storytelling, you know?
Right.
You want to see what happens.
Right. So,
like the Mysterio family versus Seth Rollins and his crew. That's Dominic, good storytelling.
Dominic just works, right? Isn't it kind of nuts? Dominic, yeah, nuts. Dominic, like, Dominic, I mean, Tua already made him one of his guys.
Yeah. What's, did anyone else?
Should we just get in on that now? Get in on the ground floor with Tua?
I'm not even close to making Dominic one of my guys.
No. There's someone else made Dominic one of their guys in our 5-star review.
Should we? Let's just get those. Let's do those now because this is Listener Appreciation Day.
The cash-ins are back.
Yeah,
oh, it's
up.
Listener Appreciation Day? All right. I'm going to sign off, guys. I'll see you
It looks like we lost.
Newman will be back in like 3 minutes.
And this now.
It looks like we got
Shawn Michaels.
We got three new ones here. Yeah. Aaron, we got three new ones, it looks like.
Yeah. One of them may or may not be from someone I know.
Is it Mike?
Yes.
Okay, it looks like Mike, who may or may not be Aaron's husband, may or may not be, gave the podcast 5 stars. And he said, best podcast on the planet. What else do you need to know? Couldn't be less biased there.
Did you see the subject of the review?
But it looks like, congratulations to Mike. I mean, mm-hmm. This is big. He's not even a huge wrestling fan, but he has seen this man on Raw. He's felt that this man has no limits, as he's been saying. And he has made Keith Lee one of his guys. Congratulations.
Mike.
Aaron, what happened there that he likes the girdle?
He saw him for the first time. I introduced him to Keith Lee, I think in his first match against the Apex Predator. He was like, who's this guy? Who is this guy? Then the next match was like, I like this guy. And then on Monday was watching and was like, and declared Keith Lee one of his guys. Yeah. And I said, you have to put this out, you have to tell the world.
Well, to be honest, like,
star review,
let's talk about Keith Lee for a second, and we'll get to the rest of these what are our guys, because they might be
interesting ones.
They might be pretty interesting. But Keith Lee, it's noted that he's getting a big push by McMahon. You don't need, that's reported in the sheets. Okay.
The dirty sheets.
But you don't need to look at the sheets to know that he pinned Randy Orton in a pay-per-view match. That's huge, with a clean win.
Right.
Plus, you could see Vince is really getting into the minutia of his gear, his music. He changed his finisher. Right? So he made him shave his face. Like, Vince is, he doesn't do this for every wrestler. Like, he's like, I want to present this guy the way, like, proper, you know? Mm-hmm. I hear the music was because they had, like, their deal with CFO, like, they're trying to not pay CFO anymore, which is just, guys, come on. Find the cash to pay CFO. They're brilliant. They make amazing music.
Yeah, they have a dollar sign in their name. Yeah.
Hire them back.
Right.
Like, whatever that foolishness is.
But that's saying, like, Letterman loves Keith Lee. And Mike likes Keith Lee. And I had another friend who turned around and was like, what's this Keith Lee's guy's deal? He's catching people's eyes. You know what I mean?
That's what happened.
Right. So it's that's really cool. And really, that's like, to me, if I was working at WWE, which, you know, they're not looking to hire me. Everyone knows. But like, that's the kind of fucking feedback in that WWE wants. They want to know when someone walks by the screen, do they go, I like that guy, you know?
Right.
So, yeah, props to Keith Lee. And you got to say, when he was in the ring with Orton, you're like, this guy belongs in that ring.
Yeah, that was a good place for him.
His trajectory has been nuts, man. Like, to like go from, like, I saw him at PWG, and then, like, the next year he was on NXT, and then now he's beating Randall Orton clean.
He's so fucking big, Randy Orton.
I know this is a little insensitive, but can you believe someone was able to take advantage of that guy?
I know.
He's so fucking big.
He was drugged.
And I know. Yeah. I'm not making fun of it. I'm just saying,
crazy.
Like, it's insane. He's like a fucking, like, he's what, 350 probably?
I'm wondering what date rape he's drug this female used.
And how much of it you have to give
how
him.
How much?
Anyway, this is getting into a territory I'm not feeling.
Yeah, listen to a previous episode if you want to hear Keith Lee's story. But he was a victim.
Yeah. So let's talk about this. Is that Keith Lee pinned my man Dolph Ziggler this week? Mm-hmm. You know, obviously I'm biased. Dolph Ziggler is my friend. But I thought Ziggler made him look like a million bucks, like he always does. He hit him with that pounce, which was pretty fucking badass.
Yeah.
And he's... Keith Lee's doing what they're calling the spirit bomb, which is essentially like a seated last ride, right? It's kind of, because he kind of lifts you at the top of the power bomb like Taker would do for the last ride, right?
It's also what Kota Ibushi's finisher, right?
You're right. It is Kota Ibushi's finisher. You're right.
Yeah. Which, I mean, two totally jacked dudes on different ends of the spectrum of jacked. It works.
I mean, I'd love to see Kota Ibushi give that to Keith Lee.
He probably could. That guy's fucking massive.
But the thing with Keith Lee, it's really interesting, is that he's like 36. He's not like a young, not that that's old, because that's my age.
How old you are.
Not that that's old, and I'm in better shape than I've ever been. But it's a weird age to be like a Raw rookie. You know what I mean?
Right.
But we see it more often. Like, AJ came in even older, you know? Mm-hmm. It's kind of nuts that Vince will let these guys – he lets these guys age past 35 before they get to wrestle on Raw.
Yeah, that's true.
But so anyway, Keith beat Ziggler, but then Orton, obviously, they had to make – I'm glad they did. Had a triple threat match, which I was like, the second it started, I was like, that is, look at these, like, these three guys, Rollins, Orton, and Keith in the ring. And there's something to say about just Seth and Randy play such, like, key roles in this company right now.
Yeah.
But if you notice, the finish of this match, which Randy's back on top, and Randy gives an RKO to Keith. Then he kind of trips over. He kind of trips over Keith, does a somersault, and pins Seth.
Right.
I don't know if you guys saw that. I mean, it's like kind of a small, like, it's something I noticed. Let me see if I even have it, because I can just show you on the screen, because it's worth looking at. But you're like, here. Can you see?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, watch.
Right.
Look. Okay. Okay, gives Spirit Bomb to Seth, which he takes amazingly, by you see, like he gives RKO to Keith. Then he fills
He did like a little somersault.
Right. So
right.
Well, you look like he was going right for Rollins. Like he was, he had his mind to go for Rollins
right
instantly.
And it was, it felt like either Keith didn't roll up, Keith's not fast enough for these guys, right. But or something. But like, by the way, I just want you to notice one small thing, and then we'll talk to Seth. Watch Seth eat this Spirit Bomb. Like, watch out, watch this cell. He hits the ground. It makes Keith.
Yeah. I love it when Seth does that. He pops does all the way up.
Yeah, that was sick. And by the way, I just want to tell you guys, look how much I'm talking about wrestling in main roster right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Good for the Thunderdome. But yeah, so I'm saying, do you think, so here's my question for you guys. Okay, I'm getting around to it. Do you think that Keith was, and you kind of answered it already, you think Keith was supposed to be getting out of the way so that he and Orton would just go for to pin Rollins? Or you think that Orton was it was just directed to not pin Keith right now. Keith can't be pins right
now.
He
went for that like somersault so quickly over Keith Lee. I think he was going for Seth. He was just.
I think Keith was probably supposed to be like closer to like rolling out of the ring. Right.
Right. Right. Right.
Yeah, that's probably what the literal truth is. But like, I could kayfabe this in my mind to be like, Randy knows it's going to take more than one RKO to put Keith down, but Seth just ate a Spirit Bomb, so he's going to like neutralize Keith and then take advantage of what Keith did by pinning Seth.
But isn't that Randy just admitting that the RKO is less effective than the Spirit Bomb?
I mean, Keith Lee, I think that just says more about Keith Lee than it does about the RKO.
Right, so
he's limitless.
Do you think that Randy? Yeah, he's limitless. So he's probably doing a calculation there, and he's like, mm-hmm. "This is infinities in this equation." So I might as well just go for this. Man.
Yeah. And I love the mathematician,
quantum physicist Randy Orton. Just like, oh, this infinity here is integers are all wrong.
Don't you think about like? I love when I notice this small shit because you're like, do you think in that moment Randy was like literally like, I feel like. I feel like I have a better chance of pinning Rollins right now. Like, in kayfabe. He's like, that Spirit Bomb probably put him down more than my move could put down this huge guy. Right?
That's what I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, guys this size have kicked out of the RKO. Let's be real, man. He's like, Randy, no insult to yourself. I'm not trying to take yourself down. But, like, Randy, bigger guys have kicked out of this before. And it's not a time to be ego. This is about winning matches.
right. I mean, is the RKO his finish now, or is the punt his finish?
That's another great point because it does feel like he does the punt after the RKO, right?
Right.
But RKO will always be his finish. Like if you asked him, he would definitely say that's his finish.
The
now,
punt is just like adding insult to injury after you've been.
I think, by the way, that move, if you just want to see just that sequence of events, I think it's on the WWE Instagram, which is, I think, why I noticed it. Okay, next thing, and then we'll get back to the one on my guys list. Mm. Randy put this – I'm just showing you guys my phone for the thing, but Randy put out this video on Instagram. Did you guys see this?
Is it a snake?
Yes, it's a snake with this kind of like music.
Uh-huh.
Hear it? It's like a graphic of a animation of a snake.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
It has kind of like a that like
it's finally
like
that, happening.
Yeah, and it's called. It says it's finally happening. Can you guess what it is? What do you think he's talking about? It looks like maybe new Titantron.
You know what? I think he's opening a snake farm.
That's what I was gonna say. It's come on down to Randy's snake. What do we call this?
Snake farm.
Yeah, snake farm and herpetology research center.
Yes.
The snake predatorium. The Apex Predatorium. It's like loose reptiles, and you have to get to the exit.
Like, it's like when you go to a butterfly house and they're everywhere. It's that, but it's snakes.
The exhibits are out of nowhere. Yeah. They come out of nowhere.
Is he releasing his own cologne?
Ooh.
His own scent.
And it's made with real fucking venom.
Venom, yeah.
Right. It's finally happening, let me see. Can you guess what it is?
Aaron, I'm going to go pee quick.
Okay, Dan.
Can you read the next one of my guys to everybody?
You got it.
Okay.
Dan's going to go take a quick break. So next up, we have a 5-star review from Cow Rookie Cody. Funny, entertaining, insightful. The review reads, feels like having a hilarious conversation with my friends every week. Bailey and Dominic Mysterio are my guys. Additionally, the Sammy Guevara sound drop, but not Sammy Guevara himself, is one of my guys. I feel like this review is really lacking without the soundboard, which Dan controls from his post.
All right.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Thanks, Kawaki Cody. Dan, I have to reread this one because okay. It requires the soundboard.
Okay, I got the soundboard.
Sorry, I'm going to read Cow Rookie Cody, his review again. Funny, entertaining, insightful. Feels like having a hilarious conversation with my friends every week. Bailey and Dominic Mysterio are my guys.
Whoa.
Additionally, the Sammy Guevara sound drop. Not Sammy Guevara himself is one of my guys.
Sammy Guevara.
Wow. Mm-hmm. All right. That's great. Yeah. We are the only, we've said this for years, we're the only professional wrestling podcast with that Sammy Guevara drop.
The only one. And we have one more. I don't know if you want to.
We should do it. I mean, this is decided mid-podcast listener appreciation week here on the font.
Okay.
That's how organized we are.
This one is from Julio in W.
Okay.
One of my guys for the Navarro home. Review says, I'm glad I took the time to wait on letting the Cow Universe know who my guys are. After this last week's pod/YouTube episode, I must say that the Cow panel doing the soundboard for this week's episode is one of my guys.
Wow.
He loves the human soundboard.
That's the most specific one of my guys we've ever heard in our lives.
Says, you all nailed it, not just for the intro, but throughout the whole show. Also, AJ Effin Styles is one of my guys. Hopefully he gets back into the main title scene. And Jax, my son, wanted time to let everyone know that Kenny Omega is one of his guys. Keep doing a phenomenal job, guys. We'll keep listening.
Wow, thank you, Julio. Awesome. Thank you, Julio. That's great.
He loves the human soundboard.
That's great. I feel like you guys do a great job, even
Sammy
though Newman
Guevara
reluctantly claps when I do Donnie wrestling over Zoom.
And sensitive palms.
Yeah, I know. It's a palm thing. It's what he told me. He talked to me off camera for this. But you're also reminding me that, by the way, I don't even say this every week because we have 5,000 announcements, but I post the Zoom calls on my YouTube page. So they're up if you want to check out the video. And you can
there
see
is a
us.
Link in bio on our Instagram page also each week.
That's great. So let's do one more cash in and then let's get to the All Out card. I think AEW's earned this is All Out weekend, and we've earned the right to talk a little All Out on the main pod. Let's hear. I don't know what this is going to be. Here we go.
Oh, boy.
Hey, it's Jacob Levitt, superstar, future of Cow, future youngest ever Minions of Wrestling Champion. Looking forward to that. Just wondering if you could do me a quick favor and hit the Under Siege drop for me. Thank you. Bye.
Listen,
Jacob,
that week, that we can oblige. I love that's a nice short one. Confidence. Coming after the Cow title. Feels like the podcast is.
He called us like
Under Siege.
Under Siege.
Yeah.
He called us like we were concierge at a fucking hotel. Like, hey, yeah, I'm up here, room 693.
Leave the chicken fingers in front of the door.
Yeah. Those chicken fingers up here, leave them there. That'd be great. Thanks.
Yeah, also, yeah, I'm not going to make it today. cancel the kayaking trip. My wife, she's not feeling up to it today. See, we got our money back. All right. Hotel. I know you said concierge. Made me think when you have like an adventure package at the hotel or whatever. You know what I mean? All right, let's do one more cashing because that one was so quick and easy.
Okay.
That was it. Look. I think
okay, so we got a ghost.
We have a ghost cash in. Okay. Okay.
Shout out to all the ghost listeners.
Shout out to all.
What the fuck was that?
Hey.
Hey. I mean, the fucking, the sad thing is that's one of the best cash-ins we've ever had.
Yeah, memorable.
Wow, that's a heel line. All Out is happening this weekend, which is normally, feels like every time is at that Sears Center in Chicago, but this will be held in sunny Jacksonville, Florida, at Daly's Place, which you don't know is just where all the AEW shows have been for the past 7 months. I was hoping that they would put it in the middle of the fucking football stadium. Because why not make All Out, like, start setting that precedent that it's in that Jacksonville stadium, like, that's a smart move, like, and then build it up over like 10 years to where they fill it up, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, right. Where we start going like, yo, let's go to next year, let's go to Jacksonville for All Out, you know what I'm saying?
That'd be cool.
But maybe now's not the time to try to do that because the times are weird, but, and maybe they will do it, who knows, but it's saying Daly's Place, which is the small theater that's attached to the Jacksonville Jaguars stadium. All Out. So, we saw already on the last edition of AEW Dynamite, the crowd, the crowd is back. Something like 20% of that crowd is back. They look to be socially distanced. And boy, oh boy, what a difference that has made. And think about going into All Out to see not Thunderdome-style fans, to see actual fans there. When Moxley entered and when Jericho entered, they you could hear them singing along with Jericho's theme again. Yeah. You saw them go nuts for Moxley. It reminded you why he's the champion. They fucking love him. And so it makes me pretty pumped for All Out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It stresses me out, though. Like, it stresses me out so bad knowing that there's going to be people, cavorting, is that a word? Yeah.
I think it's pasteurizing.
You know, see all these people homogenizing together.
Yeah. There's a lot of homogenization, a lot of, I mean, you're basically saying that the Daly's Place will be
under siege.
Could end up in siege. You know what I mean? I mean, yes. Anyway, look, you know, it's tough to say. I would say
I think you suck. I definitely think you suck. This whole situation sucks.
Yeah. Haven't heard that one in a minute.
That's an old one and a good one. But so I'm saying, I know it's stressful. But you know, look, they're outside, and if they have 20% capacity, I'll be honest with you guys, I would go to that.
Right.
Calculated risk.
Because it's outside. Yeah. You know, I feel comfortable doing that, but I'm not saying it's the smart thing to do. But whatever, we can go into that in detail, but let's just look at this card for a little bit.
All right.
And let's specifically start at this Moxley versus MJF match. I'm curious how you guys are feeling about this feud. Are you pumped for this match? And do you think that MJF has a shot at taking the title? Keep in mind that the paradigm shift is a banned finishing move in this match. Legally banned. Now, it says, by the way, Moxley is banned from using the paradigm shift. So
interesting twist.
MJF is still allowed to be using it.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think I don't see MJF getting the title unless it's like a swerve. You know what I mean? It would be a surprise to me.
Right.
Because I do think that there is some truth to like what MJF is saying. Like, I think Moxley is probably very protected. Like, because MJ, he's more of like a straight up, like, I could see him because he's been there, like in like an NJPW, like he looks more like he's like an actual professional wrestler, whereas MJF is sort of his character type of wrestler. He would probably fit in very well at WWE. I don't think that they're done protecting Moxley, so I think he's gonna win.
Right.
I agree.
Yeah, I think MJF does not win this match. MJF can lose and still be cool, but I also don't see this as like a three-match series either for whatever reason, because I'll be honest, I'm not that crazy about this feud. It's not really done much to suck me in. The campaign, I think, was like, to be honest, this is one of the biggest failures in AEW's main event matches, right? Like all their pay-per-views. Like, I'm pretty much psyched for all of the heavyweight matches, and this is the first one. Like, and it's no knock on either guy. I like MJF a lot. I think he's really great, and I like Moxley as the champion. But what these two guys, their beef with each other, has been just a little. I don't know. I just hasn't really
forced.
And I kind of attribute it to the campaign thing. I think the campaign thing was like distracting for me. Like, we're talking about that question mark thing. I spent so much time on this pod asking you guys, what is he campaigning for? A match he has already? It was a misfire.
It's like the most New York Jew. Like, what's he campaigning for? A match he has already? Something about that.
There is a thing that, like, where people where I'm from say stuff like that. Like, and, like,
no more, Mr.
Not that. But you say something like, you ask a question of, like, what are they actually mad about? But then you tag it with an insult. So it's not a real question. It's, like, rhetorical. But it's, you know what I mean? Yeah.
You answer your own rhetorical question
with
an insult. Yeah.
Right. You're like, what is he upset about? Is it his face?
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And you're like, you're like, oh, okay. Like, you don't actually want to know. But his I do it sometimes, I actually want you guys to answer the question, but I've ruined it.
Right. What's he want? He's clinical depression? What's he depressed about? His hair loss?
And you're like, yes, that is what he's upset about.
Yeah,
and
that's also, what it
is. The way you just said it right now is specifically why he feels self-conscious about it, because he thinks people are tagging their questions with it. But yo, Newman, I'm saying, like, this campaign thing, I felt like it was distracting. Then on top of the campaign thing, he started saying, and by the way, I haven't watched Dynamite tonight yet. We'll talk about that on in the bonus episode that'll come out after All Out. But he did the whole, like, look up at the lights. He was like, oh, I'm not going to. So his thing was, oh, you don't like me because I won't eat a pin for you. So that was breaking kayfabe. This thing was like sloppy. And to be honest, I feel like a lot of this was AEW at its worst. It was, its writing was all over the place. And I think it really hurt this feud that could have been pretty great.
Right.
So
just let MJF be like, because he's a big guy, right? Let him be a tough guy and try to out tough guy Moxley.
And then the next part about the whole thing is that because the lead up was just fine, we're not like we're that pumped to watch MJF versus Moxley as just a match.
Right.
Like, MJF is not like a particularly amazing in ring talent like a Kenny or something.
Right.
He's good, he's effective, but neither is Mox, so I feel like that matchup's not that exciting either on paper.
Right.
So yeah. I don't know. I guess I wish
it's fine.
Right. Okay. So moving on to we all think Moxley's winning this clean, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? How do you think he wins? No paradigm shift.
I think he does it anyway.
Oh, really? I feel like he pins him and then gives him a paradigm shift.
He gives him a dirty deeds.
Yeah. He gives him he calls it a dirty deeds. Interesting thing about the paradigm shift is that they specifically called it a double arm DDT, you know? So I guess he can go single arm.
Just regular DDT, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe he did use a new finisher.
I think a double arm. I think a single arm DDT. I think just a regular DDT would be a cool pivot for Mox.
Right.
Just like go back to a Jake the Snake style DDT.
I don't know. I mean, my power bomb anything is my favorite finisher. So like sit out or whatever, last ride, whatever have you. Can't beat the power bomb. I don't get too hyped about a DDT. I could double arm, but yeah.
I mean, I just think like a DDT in general, someone should take it back because it was a finish at some point, is all I'm saying. Now, here's what I'll also say. This is sidebar, but Keith Lee, His other finisher was bad. I actually think Vince did him a favor. This powerbomb looks a lot better. It was like it was like a fireman's carry into like a sidewalk front, like into like it was like kind of like a fireman's carry into the world's strongest slam, like kind of just like a front splash, I think.
Right.
And it didn't look like a finish.
No, I think someone his size too would be cool if he had like a bear hug as a finisher or something like that, or like a, you know, like a big guy submission.
Right. But you don't like a sit down powerbomb?
I do. I love it.
Yeah, it's great.
Powerbombs are my favorite thing.
It looks good on him too. So props to Vince. So Chris Jericho versus Orange Cassidy in a Mimosa Mayhem match. Right. Okay, so do you know what this match is? Match can be won by pinfall, submission, or throwing the opponent into a tank of mimosa.
Okay, that's fair.
It sounds so stupid, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely like first thought, like, orange juice, bubbly, that's mimosa. We have a mimosa match. Well, I'll throw you a mimosa, it's done. All right, next idea. What are we doing with pentagon? You know, it's like, they just moved on instantly.
Well, I also like that Jericho's like, oh, I'm the king of the gimmick match. I created Money in the Bank, and like which he's always said. And so, like, I love that he's like, I make up my own matches. Like, I think it's funny. Like, I make up matches that entertain me, and I do it. But I think it's funny. Yeah. I think this is like a step too far. Like Jericho, like being like, I can get anything over, and then he went a little too far. I don't think this is not
the
working.
Tub
on me.
Of mimosas. That's a lot of bubbly.
80 gallons of mimosa, I think.
Oh, my God. Like,
the bubbly. I don't know.
Yeah, because if there's anything more disgusting than having groups of people together during a pandemic, it's getting thrown into a room temperature vat of mimosa.
Champagne and orange juice.
Yeah.
That's great.
Okay, so also, who do you guys think? You think Jericho or Cassidy?
I think Jericho's taking a dip.
Yeah, I think Cassidy's going to win.
Okay.
Is it for anything or is it just bragging rights?
No, but whoever wins is going in the the mimosa is going to be the finish, right?
Right.
Might have a double mimosa count out. Might have a double. What if they both take a dive in the mimosa? I don't know.
It's just so gross, so sticky.
It just seems
stupid. I hope there's a spot. I hope there's a spot where like somebody's tired, like they're like kind of gassed or whatever, and they kind of like walk over to the mimosas and take like a scoop with their hand and like just take a sip.
Oh.
Just like power up. Yeah.
Orange could do that.
All right. I think that Jericho wins. Kenny Omega, just because why not? Yeah. Kenny Omega and Adam Page, the champions, versus the Revival. For the tag titles. I mean, I think the Revival take this. I think this is a cool match. I think you open the show with this match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's, I mean, this match is going to be pretty dope, especially because you have the internal story of Omega and Paige they're struggling to coexist. So I think that'll be cool. I mean, Paige cost the Young Bucks a match, so the Page's already going against the Young Bucks, and Omega loves the Young Bucks, and the Elite is breaking up. So I think the Revival win this, but I think this will be a cool I'm excited for that. I mean, Revival with the tag title seems like a good move.
Yeah. I think so for them.
Omega and Page need to not be the tag champs anymore. It's kind of like, I don't know, I just want to see Omega have a cool, I want to see those two guys have good fun singles runs.
Yes.
I hope they don't get too far up their own asses trying to make it like a real wrestling match, and like it turns into like a boring slog. But that's just down. You know, I think it'll be fun, but that's like my one concern.
I mean, look, these guys know what they're doing, but let's hope they don't get outworked by Dominic Mysterio this week. I mean, isn't that the danger for all these guys? If these guys have a worse match than Dominic, killing it.
Dominic's like setting the standard right now.
Oh, man. What is this? Oh, the Casino Battle Royale. Who cares about? I mean, not that we don't care, but like we're going to choose whoever. I don't know. This is for a title shot, so just choose someone who's not fucking the perfect 10. Speaking of the perfect 10, you guys read Peyton Royce, they're saying, is going to get like a big singles push. That's what they're saying.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like Vince's.
I've been hearing like buzz.
Yeah. I think Vince is looking to push her as a singles
What's
competitor.
What's going to happen to Billie Kay?
I don't know. It's not going to be great for her without the Iconics. But do you think that you could see Peyton Royce as like a women's champ?
I think so. I think she's really good.
I've never seen her wrestle a singles match. I don't even think of her as like an in-ring wrestler. Like I don't think about anything she does in the ring. So it'd be interesting to see her like go with like Sasha or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Dark Order versus I don't know. Who would care about this match? Dark Order versus Matt Cardona, Scorpio Sky, and the Natural Nightmares.
Versus my attention span. Guess who wins?
The Natural Nightmares is Dustin Rhodes and QT Marshall. Did you know that? That's who the Natural, because he's like the Natural, I guess. And wait, why would they be called the Natural Nightmares when those are just Dustin's nicknames? He was the Natural, and the Nightmare is like because he's in the Nightmare family. That's nothing to do with QT Marshall. They're not like the Nightmare Cuties or whatever. Like, they're not like or the Nightmare Marshals.
I like the Nightmare Marshals.
QT Marshall sounds like a boutique furniture store.
Yeah, it sounds like because you're talking about the one that's like
HB Buttercups or some bullshit.
There's one match that's TBD versus TBD for a tag team match, so we don't know what that is, but that's probably Young Bucks versus somebody, right?
Yeah.
And then you have Matt Hardy versus Sammy Guevara, broken rules match. If Hardy loses, he must leave AEW. Well, I guess Hardy can leave, right, and then just come back broken. He can come back one of the other characters.
That's a loophole.
Okay, cool. Man, this pay-per-view is not that strong, right?
Right.
And Hikaru Shida versus Thunder Rosa, which is another one where, like, I don't know that much about Thunder Rosa. Like, she kind of just showed up, right? So, I don't – yeah, she's from NWA, but I don't really know that much about her. Yeah, I'm that crazy about this pay-per-view. Why do they have – what is with this six-man tag? What are they thinking we want to see that for?
Who wants to see that?
Eight-man tag match. Why wouldn't they give Matt Cardona a singles match? All right, I don't know. Weird pay-per-view. Maybe it'll be – I mean, I'm sure it'll be a great time. I'm going to watch it, but they're also going to want $50 for this thing, right?
Which I was going to say, it's a $50 pay-per-view. This, for me, is not worth the price
tag. That's a pass.
So I will be watching it on replay on someone else's Bleacher Report.
On my Bleacher Report.
On Dan's. This is Dan's Bleacher Report account.
It's a $50 pay-per-view. And for that reason, I'm out.
Well, first off, it has no Cody match. That's what I'm realizing because Cody's out. Which was what'd you just say? And for that reason,
I said for that reason, I'm out. Sharks, I'm asking for $50 for 4 hours of your time.
Newman, you're out.
I'm out.
I'm out. I'm not gonna watch. I'm gonna catch you in the gifts.
Mr. Wonderful is out.
Yeah. You're out. Aaron, are you out?
I'm out on this one, Dan.
Wait, this pay-per-view is on paper not looking like a $50 pay-per-view.
$50 is a lot of money for this.
Yep.
Wow. And it's partially because Cody is not there because of the cool storytelling they're doing with Cody, but you start realizing how when he's not on the card, it's a huge knock on that.
Yeah.
I'm realizing I pay a lot to see a Cody match.
Yeah, truth.
The thing is, it's not like I wouldn't pay at all to see this. If it were $10,
right?
Mm-hmm. $10, yeah.
I think any pay-per-view that's $30, I think is a fair price. You know, it's still expensive, but I'm saying like, it's still expensive. But I'm just saying like, if you pay $30, I'm not going to fault you as a company. But when you start going up to $50, then your show better be like, now we're talking boxing. Yeah. You know what I mean? You're talking about I don't know. You know what I mean? I'm talking like we pay $10 for. They got to remember we pay $10 for WWE a month,
right?
You know, and we paid $10 this month, and we got Payback and SummerSlam. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, whatever. They're new. I trust them to put on a good show, but this is the least excited I've been for an AEW show. And then this is the first time I've really been confronted with paying $50 that I'm a little worried about spending. I'm just being perfectly honest, and I'm a huge AEW mark. The last pay-per-view, what was the last one? I don't. They're so far and few between.
What
was
it called?
Not Revolution. There was one after that. It was like Full Gear, then there was Revolution, and then there was
Fyter Fest.
It was Fyter Fest, but
that was on. That was like to the two night.
Double or Nothing, right?
Yeah.
Oh, but that was not that. No, it might have just been Revolution because Double or Nothing was just two nights spread out, right? But anyway, right. The point is that the Double or Nothing card, I remember being really excited about. Like, I would have paid for that card, the 50, just to support AEW, even though it's always felt expensive. I don't know. It's my opinion. I'd love to hear what you guys say. Let me know. Let's have a conversation about it in the Facebook group about the price point. Also, I haven't looked it up. Maybe they lowered the price, but that doesn't feel like a smart deal either. All right. Well, that's the All Out pay-per-view. Let's jump to talking about what happened on NXT this week. There is a 60-man Iron Man match. Finn and Adam Cole both tying at two falls each.
Right,
after an hour.
Second.
Pretty fucking cool. And then next week it'll be Finn versus Adam Cole, for the title. Who do you guys think wins the NXT title next week? And how do you feel about the state of NXT here? Given that we had this match, which a lot of people were texting about, generated some nice buzz on Super Tuesday. And also looming that Mauro Ranallo is left NXT. I'm lumping that in.
I mean, Mamma Mia. The match was awesome. I think it showcased what NXT does really well, which is like we're going to do some like actual like dance fighting here. Like we're going to really fucking, you know, plus the like kind of
– it's perfect NXT booking. It's like that's right. What they do, you know. They're going to put on the fucking – they're going to show you some fucking work rate, you know?
Exactly. And yeah. I think Balor is going to be the champ. I think he's going to win.
I was going to say Finn Balor because I think it's time.
Lock that in. I think Finn Balor definitely wins the title because the thing with Finn Balor is that he's been fucking wasted in NXT, like just hanging around there, acting like I'm this new version of myself that we haven't seen in any capacity. But Finn in NXT, he shouldn't be in NXT unless he's the champion, you know?
Right.
So,
exactly.
And it's like, I do think it'd be really cool to give Adam Cole the title again. I just think it'd be like a real fuck you. But you know what I mean? I just think it'd be like, yep, it's Cole's the champion again. And I do think there's something, the power in that title, like giving it, going back to Cole and really riding that out. There is something cool there, but I do think it's time. Make Finn the champ, and then let's see the matches you could do with Finn there. Feels perfect. If I'm Finn, what I do is I become the champ. Even though this is a babyface move, I think he should do an open challenge and he should wrestle guys down the card, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that'd be a cool thing to see Finn putting some guys over, not pinning them, but putting them over just by giving them good matches. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I also want to give a comment to Damian Priest, who's slowly creeping up one of my guys list.
Oh, really?
Did you see his fucking gear that he wore? I think maybe to take over 30, but somebody in the Facebook group posted a close-up of it.
The Instagram post.
Now, listen, I'm critical of him because of his Archer of Yesteryear gimmick, you know, like a guy from Brooklyn who's LARPing, essentially, you know, it doesn't totally add up, especially like he rolls up in a BMW with a fucking nightstick, but he does his promos on the top of a building in Brooklyn, but he shoots a bow and arrow that makes fire like he's Robin Hood. It's so fucking dumb. It makes no sense. All I do is talk about it, but including if you haven't seen it, when I trolled his Instagram and wrote like five messages to him asking him if he's ever shot a bow and arrow in his life. Okay. But this guy, I feel like his gear, look, he was wearing like kind of HBK inspired gear.
Yes.
And he does that. He wears like kind of Nash gear, like Hall, like Outsiders gear. And it's fucking cool. Like,
yep.
He looks awesome, right?
He looks great. I think I always think about like Shabiro's point on this, where it's like, yeah, Punishment Martinez is like, so he was so much cooler as Punishment Martinez. Like, he's cool now, but like the name does so much.
The name is huge.
Yeah. I think it was Tulo, right, who posted the picture of him.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It looks awesome. It's like male porn star. It's fucking dumb.
Right.
It's like
he's like a little moist looking in the picture.
Yeah, he is
a
like
a little moist.
He's the thing he's wearing on top is like what HBK would wear when he came down to the ring during like full on sexy boy time. Like it covers almost nothing. It's a shirt that you had if it was four horizontal chains. Like, imagine.
Right.
I love that because I feel like, listen, I feel like everyone wears either, oh my God, like superhero cosplay, which it's disgusting.
A lot of it.
Or like a duster. It's a lot of like,
right. Like,
if you're like not copying a superhero, you wear like just a trench coat or like, you know. Oh my God. Anyway. So that's NXT. So we're going into I don't know when Clash of Champions is, but we're gonna have Randy versus Drew again. Do you think that Randy beats Drew? So Randy's taken two big pay-per-view losses, one of a backslide and a clean win to Keith Lee. Do you think they were doing that in anticipation for the fact that he's going to win the title anyway?
Ooh, at Clash of Champions. It's possible. But yeah, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he loses and then maybe he goes to SmackDown.
Orton?
Yeah.
Ooh, and then they set up for like a Reigns Orton feud. Yeah. Well, I mean, they're both heels, right? So,
right.
Yeah.
Wreck everyone and leave out of nowhere.
Randy could switch face, could turn face on that.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just saying, it's like, do you think they ride Drew out for a long time? I guess the question I was thinking is like, you think they wait for Brock to come back for Drew? You know? And by the way, it's Brock is off of WWE shop right now. All his merch
been taken down off Shop Zone.
His contract has officially expired, so he's technically a free agent. So we don't really know what's going on with Brock. The question is really just like, how far you think they want to ride Drew? They gave him SummerSlam. Do you think they ride him all the way to Mania?
That's such a long time away, though.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to be like, oh, he's just like the quarantine champion, and they'll like let him have this until
that was Strowman.
Back to normal. But that was, it's been 6 months. Like, I think this has gone on, no sign of stopping. So anything's possible now.
Because I think if you want to do a long-term play, and if you want to do a long-term play for Drew, I think that I think you need to give him like a Goldberg match or something. Like he needs something that's like some kind of spectacle match to kill time, really, you know, and make him and build him up. Goldberg's the guy that comes to mind, but I don't know exactly who else that would be, because otherwise he's gonna start getting stale, because he needs to still be elevated by his matches. And there's not that much more talent who elevate him. Like, you have, like, you know, for example, someone like a Big E or whatever who's coming up. But, like, even though he's face or whatever, but, like, he's a guy they want to push. But, like, you can, but, like, Big E and Drew, I don't know. You need Edge, maybe. If Edge, Drew right. could be something, like someone like Edge or something. But if they want – otherwise, I see this as being they're going to give it to Randy, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't necessarily think – I would be mad at it. I was kind of expecting Randy to win before, and he deserves it. So,
right.
Well, I'd be okay with it.
We're kind of getting into this, like, we're in this post SummerSlam no man's land here, trying to figure out what does the future look like leading up until like Survivor Series. And I think that the answer here, what I think about it, is Miz. Like, he feels like the untapped resource right now. Is like Miz. Drew could be awesome. Miz, Keith, like, use Miz to elevate these other guys. Miz is, you know, I think that's the way I would go. What do you guys think they do with Sasha Bailey? When do you guys think they have this pop? When do they fully pop that pimple?
That's a really good question.
Wait, when is the draft? Because maybe it coincides and they get separated or something.
Well, the draft is probably going to be after Clash of Champions, right? Because there's no date for the draft. Hasn't been like officially announced yet.
Right. Before Survivor Series, it would have to be, right? Mm-hmm. Or maybe that Survivor Series. I don't know.
Right. It all remains to be seen, the other thing I would say is if they've turned Aleister Black heel, I think another is great thing is to push him in something like, you know, have him in the equation with like a Drew or Randy or something, you know. So there is some cool shit to be done right now. He's going to wrestle KO. I think they're going to have KO get him over in that feud. But, okay, I don't know. The Bailey Sasha, to me, it's already too late. I barely care about it. I know this would drive Tulo insane if he heard me say this, but like,
he's going to hear
it's been
me
like
say
2 years. Right. He's going to be upset by it. But Retribution is the thing. It's like, what the fuck could be going on with this? What?
I mean, everyone, they're all NXT people. It's all been kind of revealed, like people right. like on the dirts and the sleuthing and all this, right? Right? It's like, yeah, like, they identified pretty much everybody.
One of them's Mia Yim, one of them is Dio, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And one of them, they've all pretty much been named. So I don't think that WWE even knows at this point what it's supposed to be or how they're going to reveal it or what the point is going to be or like, are they going to stretch to Survivor Series and like when NXT? Like, I don't know. It's too late.
Right. And we also have like Underground going on. Do you think Underground ties it into Retribution at all? Doesn't feel like it.
No.
They're like Shane's agents from the Underground.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. I can't see any true satisfying reveal with Retribution.
Here's what I think with Retribution.
Their leader was like someone we don't know yet who has not been unmasked.
It would have to be CM Punk for me to give even half of a shit about who it is.
Right, but I don't think you would even care as much as you think.
No.
Because it's such a lame thing for him to do. You know?
Here's what I think the true is about Retribution. I think they had the idea to have like an Antifa kind of like anarchist style thing. And then when everybody was like, hey, is this supposed to be Antifa? They were like, oh, no. And now they're like having to make up something else.
Because right. That's like when Lost was like, it's not purgatory. It was like, it was purgatory. Yeah.
Right.
And then you tried to make it not and it didn't work.
That's what I think is happening here.
Right. And why even make anything good? Because some people will tell you it's great. So why even bother? You know what I mean? Some people are like, that was awesome and completely deliberate. Like, by the way, I just realized I was looking at this Cage Side Seats article, and this guy literally said this. He goes, okay, wait, hold on. Okay. Lee pounced Orton on the outside, and Seth tried a suicide dive, but Lee caught him. Seth got in the ring, and the spirit bomb was done, and Seth sold it like death. Oh, cool. He also popped it. Orton snuck in and did the RKO and took advantage of the spirit bomb and pinned Seth. It was a great finish and was the right one too. Orton flipped over Lee to pin Seth because he knew that the RKO might not have done the job. And I love that. Orton was the right call to win this and they protected Lee. Did you think that? Do you think that's what it was? I feel like Lee was supposed to roll out of the ring.
That's what I said. I think it's not. I agree with that.
He was in the way.
That's interesting. I just came by that. But I mean, look, I don't know. I don't know where they go with this Retribution stuff. But I'll say this is that I do think WWE, like regardless, the Retribution, blah, blah, blah. I think WWE NXT right now has some real momentum in their favor over AEW since the Thunderdome has appeared.
Thunderdome's huge.
You know, and with The Fiend, they've kind of revitalized The Fiend. And you have Reigns back in a real meaningful way. And we'll see if that's effective. I guess, do you guys think that, is there any chance right now, this is the last thing we'll talk about, is there any chance right now that Reigns become, this heel run, which we've been asking for, makes Reigns one of your guys?
No, I don't see it happening.
No. I think for me, no. And do you think that you'd be like, this is a, you, where do you feel like you're going to land? Like 2 months from now, how you think you're, if I go, what do you think about Reigns? What do you think you're going to say?
2 months from now, I'm probably going to feel the same way I always feel about Roman Reigns, which is he's always here and he's always here.
Roman Reigns is always
Sammy Guevara.
I mean, what else can be said about Roman Reigns? He's a good wrestler. Yeah. He is very popular with a lot of people. And he's just not, he isn't interesting to me personally.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, plus to be like one of your guys, it can't just, I don't know. I feel like the damage
he would have to
been done.
Take the shirt off.
That would be big.
By the way, that would be a step in the right direction. He might take that shirt off. You know, he didn't even wrestle in that match. He was just wearing the shirt because he joined it last. And
it would be so
chair shots.
Easy. Just pop it off.
Pop the top, man.
It's not like I gotta unbuckle the vest and I gotta slip it over my head. It's just take the damn t-shirt off.
Here's what I think.
I think rip his shirt off and he has a tattoo of the vest over his whole body.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
That would be unbelievable if he had a vest tattoo. I think that this is a little negative, so I don't really love it, but I'm just being completely honest. I really don't think Reigns is gonna nail this. I really don't think.
Even with Heyman,
I think it's gonna work because Reigns will always look powerful. But I don't think you. I do think like in a little bit, you're not gonna be like. I still think you're gonna, especially if he's wearing that vest and he's still coming out to that same music, and he could still see in his face that it's like he's acting or whatever, and he's not, you know, because you could throw him, because I think people think that Heyman is like this failsafe or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I think he really worked for Brock, but you know Brock as a guy. Like the Brock is like a real fighter, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So like I don't think she's like, oh, now he has Heyman, so Roman is cool. I don't think it's gonna work as well as they think. Is it the right way to book Roman? Do I like it? Am I happy with it? Did it work? To anyone who said, oh, this thing was bullshit. Like, giving Romans the title was bullshit. Do I like that? No, I think that's perfect. That's good writing. Like, they are getting that heel reaction out of you. I would have given him the title also. I think it was the right move. And putting him with Heyman, I think all that's good. That's not the nuance of the writing. We're talking about, from earlier, we're talking about the rules. Like, does the rules of this make sense? That has nothing to do with the fact of the booking of Roman is getting people pissed off, and that's good.
Right.
You know?
Right. Right.
But I'm saying, in terms of you keeping your interest in the same way that you're digging Randy Orton this year, I'm not sure we're gonna get that out of Roman. I don't think we will. I did think Skyler. I don't know, but we'll see. I could be wrong, and I've been wrong many times. That being said, I feel like we said this. Skyler said it on Monday, and I think it's true. I think we get Brock. I think we get Brock Reigns. I think that's the main event of WrestleMania next year, whether you like it or not. You know? Again. With the reverse role. With, you know, Reigns heel, Brock kind of the baby face. You know?
Great.
Looking McMahon's razor. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, it's McMahon's razor. I think it'll happen, but I think we'll kind of be into it because the roles are reversed and because it'll be like Brock coming back to win the Rumble, and you'll be like, Brock's back and he's without Heyman because Heyman's with Reigns now, and you'll be like, oh, he stole. I think all that will work and we'll all dig it, which is separate from thinking if you're like become a Roman fan, right? Can we handle these nuanced conversations? Can we handle these separate conversations, everybody? Yes. But what I would do is I would have Seth get involved. If you have Roman and Brock main event again, I would have Seth fucking come in and Messiah. Wow. You know what I mean? Like, imagine, like he does it again anytime these guys are in.
I love that.
Heel Seth.
Oh my God. Could you imagine he somehow got the briefcase off of Otis?
Yeah.
He bought it off of him.
It's something. and then he did it again.
Yo, you think he makes Otis his disciple and then has him sign the briefcase legally
again.
Over
again?
He does it again. Oh,
that's genius.
That'd be unbelievable.
I would love it.
Marking out for that. Now, again, can they handle that writing, that level of writing? Oh, here's the last thought I had that was in my notes that I didn't look at. I really miss Becky Lynch.
I miss her, too. She's in every commercial.
Yeah.
In every commercial, you hear her music, and it really hurts my heart that I don't get to see her every
week. Without her and Charlotte in the women's division, I frankly, not to be an asshole guy, but I don't care that much about the women's division right now. Like, and I think that's the thing that Tulo keeps being like, Sasha and Bayley are working. I'm like, yeah, but you know, Charlotte and Becky are like – they're like the son of that universe, you know? Right? So yeah, it's pretty interesting. Anyway, all right. Well, look, we're definitely getting into it's exciting. This is an exciting time because they're gonna start shifting things around. We know a draft's coming, thanks to Stu's Wood. They're pushing Keith Lee. We don't know what Retribution is, so let's see. It's gonna be interesting what they do here. At the end of the year, you know, I'm kind of excited that we're like in a little bit of like, well, where do we go here? You know, should be fun. We don't know what's next for Seth. We don't know if Randy's going to take the title. Going to be cool. Anyway, everybody check out All Out. I'm curious in the Facebook group. Let's hear what you have to say about this. The price of this. Are you excited for this pay-per-view? Do you think it's worth $50? I'm always interested to see what you guys want to think there. And I mean that directly linked to, like, you know, in comparison to the network, which WWE Network for $10 I think is a great deal. I feel no problem paying for that. You definitely get your money's worth from it. I know it's comparing, you know, a huge company with way more resources, but I'm curious what you think there. Also, check out my interview with David Arquette, the former WCW champion. We talk about his documentary, Cannot Kill, David Arquette. We talk a lot about wrestling, his respect for wrestling. It's a great conversation, I think. And we talk about him winning the WCW title, which was great. I got to talk to another. I think that's my first WCW champion that I had spoken to.
I think so.
Yeah. Goldberg, was in front of Goldberg's wife in line at a CVS. Does that count? When I was down in New Orleans?
That doesn't count.
Also, check out the Cal Movie Club. We'll be watching Heist this week, starring Bobby D, Robert De Niro, and my man Dave Bautista.
Bobby D and Davey B.
That'll be coming out Friday morning, but you can check out our other Cal Movie Club episodes. We talked about Seth Green's Randy Orton classic, Changeland, a Hulu exclusive movie, which actually was surprisingly decent.
Yeah, we liked it.
Fun to watch. It was a nice watch. I wasn't that excited to turn around, and then I really enjoyed watching it. And our AEW NXT episode probably come out after All Out this week. I'm aiming for either Sunday or Monday. But hey, everybody, this week, I want to reiterate it. Gave you an episode with a former WCW champion, arguably the most controversial champion, David Arquette. Also, I gave you an interview with Pitch Mr. Perfect, Skylar Astin. So consider supporting this podcast. We do it all with we're not funded by any major network or anything. We do it all grassroots. I reach out to these people. And so support us. Give us a couple bucks a month at patreon.com/comediansofwrestling. And cash in. Remember, cash ins are back. Leave us a voicemail at 516-530-2429-316. Blow my mind. Everybody, keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
Comedians of Wrestling. I listen on
Wednesday
when I go to work.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.